Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Caged Vision podcast with a very special guest, Mike Iltz. And he is, we always try to bring interesting guests, but Mike has got such a unique story, a story of having an idea, having his own Caged Vision and figuring out a way to turn it into a very fascinating company that then he sold. And it's just a fun journey that I can't wait to share with you. Mike, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Kerry. I really look forward to our conversation.
Yeah, likewise. So give everybody sort of the 2-minute overview of your background and what you're doing now.
Absolutely. So I spent my first 18 years of my career at the National Severe Storms Laboratory, a very well-known government research laboratory. And I ended up managing research and growing a team inside there from like 8 to 100 people. But in 2000, quite a while ago now, me and 4 other people came up with the idea that we had better technology and better skill set than was in the private sector at the time. So we formed a company called Weather Decision Technologies. And, I think we'll talk about today, but we evolved that over time to be in a specialty data provider to other weather companies, into a media-based company, sporting weather into the media space, and finally into a SaaS model. And we were able to sell it in 2018 to DTN, and I spent 2.5 years with them. And then recently I've started my own consulting company and are helping companies in the weather space think at M&A and selling themselves and those kinds of things.
Fascinating. Okay. You led me perfectly into my first series of questions, which is you mentioned, I heard at least 3 different sort of iterations of the company. The first is we think we have better technology. The second was sort of this data management. And the third was this media, supporting media. So take me back to the beginning, which is we've got this, we think we've got something better. What did you do to explore the market? What did you do to validate that what you 4 had was in fact better? And help me through the process of determining what was your competitive edge?
So at the time, the weather industry was very much an industry where the companies, the competitors, if you will, were basically taking data from the government and repackaging it and focusing mainly on the pictures and those kinds of things. And at the National Severe Storms Laboratory and other researchers I knew in the University of Oklahoma and other places, we were actually working with the data to create our own forecasts and create our own knowledge about what's going on for a competitor, for customers. And we literally spent a year building a business plan, talking to potential customers. We met like every Thursday evening for a full year before we ended up, raising money and launching the company. And we went through a big process, and we realized, and I think it's still true today, is that our capabilities at the time were far better than any other weather company. We could work with raw data, whereas they were all working with the kind of pictures and images that they would see from the government, for example. Mm.
Very good. So another way, you guys were determining a model to better forecast given the data that you had, and they were just presenting the data in a pretty picture?
Yeah, pretty much. So they were just taking forecasts from the government and other things, and we were creating our own forecasts and our own, our own capabilities, really focused on especially severe weather and lightning and safety and those kind of things. So that forecasts in the next few hours and few, 1 day versus 10 days or whatever, but we were able to run our own models and really high resolution to do that.
Fascinating. Okay. And so I usually like to take out a few nuggets. The first nugget I've got is that you said, and we talked to our customers, which is so logical, but it applies to almost anyone. If you've got a hunch, if you feel like something may be needed, the best way to validate that is to talk to your customers.
Absolutely. And we spent quite a bit of time. We thought that emergency management was a great place for us to be. We talked to a lot of the other weather companies because we thought they could be a wholesaler to them. And so before we took that big step off a cliff and hope we built a parachute on the way down, we talked to a lot of customers, potential customers, and knew that there would be at least some cushion for us before we fell all the way to the ground.
Yeah. Okay. So you launch, and I'm sure there was a, you know, there was balloons and a cake, and everybody's fired up because we have actually done it. And then you realize all we've done is create a problem to solve that now we own a little bit more than we did before. Talk me through that initial sort of high to, oh my goodness, and sort of setback number one.
You know, we built the business model on two core philosophies. One was that we could sell to other weather companies, you know, the wholesale better data than they were getting from the government or other
right. places
at the time. And so that was one that we executed on very well, and we became the number one provider to all the other weather companies, literally. But the other half of our business model was that we could sell to emergency managers all over the United States with a product we had licensed from the University of Oklahoma. And we had these grand plans of, you know, 3 years from now, we have this hockey stick thing, and we have, you know, thousands of emergency managers. And I think a year in, we had like four. And so we had to let go of the guy we hired to do sales in that area and then just turn and, you know, pivot and focus only on one thing, which was being really, really good at wholesale data to the industry, basically. And that was probably our very first pivot in the first 6 months, basically, realizing that selling to emergency managers is a very, very difficult thing to do.
And so help me understand what you were selling, what the value proposition was selling to emergency management services.
The goal there was to help them understand when severe weather was coming and how to react to it. And, you know, is there tornado warnings and give them a display of the unique forecast that we had built. But they just, frankly, the bottom line was emergency managers don't have a budget. And so the right. sales process is a year long or 2 years long, and you can't build a business around that kind of sales process.
Well, yeah. And their business is to react when something does happen, not, yeah. when something is going to happen, they probably have a fixed infrastructure that they can't really adapt too much. Right. So they've sort of understandable. Okay. Thanks for sharing that setback. I think anytime, we share our setbacks and talk through pivoting and in your case, focusing, which is my nugget number two, which is better data always wins. And you focused on your one thing, which is, okay, so you do that, you drop, you're 6 months out of the gate and you're already letting somebody go. You're probably thinking, oh my gosh, you get focused on better data. Talk me through sort of the next phase.
Well, so we ended up growing that business over an 8 or 9 year period, and we focused heavily on other weather companies and other companies that were utilizing weather in a big way as a back end data source. You know, so they needed weather data, and we grew that business to, you know, over 8 years. We grew it into a nice solid business. But I think our next pivot point was we realized that there's only so many weather companies out there, and there's only so many companies that really are deep into the data itself. And so we started looking for another partner. Mm-hmm. We ended up basically selling a percentage of the company. We sold the company, actually, but retained some of the equity in 2008 to a company that wanted to invest and pivot us into a media business, basically, or a weather provider into the media space. So kind of a similar business model. We were now providing weather data into, you know, the apps of the time and websites that were on local television stations and CNN and big customers like that. And so we became a provider with that investment into us. We then became a provider into that marketplace and ran that kind of business, you know, continued on our existing business of still being the best in the data market, but then also being really good at how do you give data to media players, local television stations, radio, big media conglomerates, those kinds of things.
Yeah. What I love about what you just said is you, for 8 years, you focused on your one thing, and it reminds me of the Under Armour story with the, you know, that underneath shirt. I don't even know what the proper name of the underneath shirt is. Let's just call it the tight shirt. The tight shirt. He perfected the tight shirt for probably 8 years before he then said, okay, what else can we do? And sort of the exact same thing that you guys did. And so there was probably some bumps and bruises along the way with the becoming that media launch. How did the selling part of the company disrupt or improve what you guys were doing? And did you lose focus on the base at all?
You know, there's lots of ways to look at it, but you know, there definitely was you move a lot of focus to where's your new market and learning the market and all that. I think we still had a core of people that were still focused on just the core data, and that team stayed about the same size, but because of the investment, we were able to add another team focused on the apps and data to the apps and those kinds of things. But it definitely becomes a different business model at that point. And so a lot of us, myself included, you know, spent a lot of time talking again to our customer, potential customers in the space, and learning what they really needed and where they want, what their vision was. We built that business. We actually built a weather social media website with a partner too, because that was the cool thing. It's kind of as fish really getting going at that time frame. And so, you know, we did that. And so we're kind of playing in the media space and with a lot of support from our new investors and owners.
Right.
They really like that. But again, I'll say, you know, we got to a spot to about 2013 or so. And we said, the media market is disjointed. It's hard to make a lot of money there. And so,
a lot of noise, huh?
A lot of noise and a lot of people giving free stuff away as part of other packages. So in 2013, we made another pivot and completely changed our view of the world. And we jumped into becoming a true B2B SaaS provider. And so we took our knowledge of apps and our knowledge of websites now and built a true software as a service offering that was aimed at offshore oil and gas, outdoor sports, outdoor concerts, those kind of things. And ultimately that's what really drove the big growth of our business from 2013 to 2018 when we sold it. We made that next pivot, and that was a very profitable business that grew very rapidly and much more profitable margins in the process too.
Yeah. So what I love about that is, as you know, you and I discuss, I love telling a story of, you know, an idea and then sort of, oh my gosh, we had this setback, and then, you know, but there's always this until one day moment. And it seems like that until one day moment was when you went from go back to selling to emergency services, which you knew could use. Surely they have to have a need, because versus someone whose revenue is contingent upon the data that you're selling. It's the big distinction. That's the really, is that the only distinction that you see?
It's revenue, but it's also its safety of employees, but ultimately it ties back to revenue, but it's safety of employees. It's safety of its planning operations to maximize, you know, margin basically, you know, should I wait till tomorrow? Should I do something quickly now instead? All those kind of things in the B2B world. And if you think about just general industry as a whole, oil and gas and transportation and utilities, they all have to react to weather, and it makes a huge difference in their bottom line. And you know, there's studies that show, you know, roughly 5% of GDP is affected by weather every year. And so we kind of moved from, you know, our business grew every year through that whole time period, but we kind of hit these stair steps where we were kind of flattened out because we kind of had maximized the data part, and we maximized the media part. And then we then grew on top of that, the SaaS offering, if you will, the weather information business. That really made a big difference to operators, if you will, in the marketplace.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just jotted down as my third nugget, who values what you do most or what you offer most? Because that's really, you know, is there value in offering it to emergency services? Yes. The value that you offer them versus the value that you offered the last group, where you really saw that growth, probably the original growth that you predicted with EMS, right? you actually achieved that with, because there was more value in the data that you presented to them through the lens of their business model and their operating model.
Oh, absolutely. There's think about offshore oil and gas.
Yeah.
You know, hurricane coming, and do you make a decision to evacuate or not evacuate? It's a tens of millions of dollar decision. Their costs are more than $1 million a day, but their profits are much more than that each day.
And sure,
I could go into big concerts, for example, making decisions around, they got 80,000 people in a festival or whatever, and they're making decisions around, do I keep people safe or not? Or do I just postpone or cancel because there's going to be a big rain event and all those kinds of things. And so, yeah, we started building these vertically oriented businesses basically for different markets. And utilities was really big, a huge market where each storm that come in, they had to put people out, they cause damage, it winds or rain or hail or tornadoes or hurricanes.
Sure.
Impact on. And they over time, they've gotten more and more sophisticated with how they use that weather information to make decisions 2 or 3 days in advance, to start moving crews in certain places or asking neighboring utilities to move their crews already.
Right.
Because we know a hurricane's coming or a big severe weather event is coming. So I think the one of the interesting things is as we got better and better with data, our customers got better and better at making decisions. One, because
of
the data, and two, because the data got better, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of this mutual growth of value, if you will. The data gets better, the customers believe the data, and we tweak it more to meet their exact needs and their decision making. And so we watched even just in that 5-year time period, and even till now, right, through DTN. That 7-year time period, the value of weather in the marketplace and in the kinds of businesses I just talked about, it's just magnified over time because of the quality of data and the one and tuning it to the customer. And I think three is the customer actually started believing it. So they started making better decisions around that data too.
So I love what you said about the data got better, the decisions got better. Talk to me about the feedback loop, post event, was there a designated process where you would sit down with the customer and say, okay, we supplied this data, you made these decisions, what do we need to refine? Was there an intentional step in your process for that?
Yeah, we had product managers whose job was that. Honestly, one of the things I wanted to do is be close to our customers as a CEO of the company. And so I would be part of that quite often too. I would fly down to Houston and meet with 4 or 5 of our customers, mm-hmm. and ask them what we could have done better. What information would you need? If we were to build the next thing in the product, what would you like? That wasn't officially my job, but it was something I thought was always very important, is to stay in tune with the customers. But we had a product manager or managers of different products, and their job was then to basically do exactly that, stay in tune with the customers, stay in tune with our salespeople, because our salespeople are very close to customers too. And so there's definitely a feedback cycle and prioritization of what's the next thing we're going to do, or what's the thing we're going to add to our product over time. And I think that's what's one good thing about a software as a service business, is once you get a product out there and people using it, you can just get into this rotational mode of every quarter you spit out a new 5 things or 10 things, and the customers can give you feedback instantly. And the more sophisticated we got, the more they liked and the more feedback they would get. And once they saw that we were actually enhancing the product on a regular basis, they would be more than happy to then provide us, ideas for what could we do to help them more too.
That's fabulous. So now you are advising business owners. What sort of, talk to me about the typical business owner, and are they SaaS companies, or are they other companies, and sort of what lessons learned do you make sure that you express to them early on?
A lot. So the kind of companies are companies that either are looking to sell themselves, and so I'm helping them think through how do you present yourself as a SaaS business, because mm-hmm. you may or may not be right now, but can you evolve? So some of these things are a 1 or 2 year project too. It's
sure.
not just what's happening right now. We're not going to sell today. We're going to position the company to do that. And so to me, building in a SaaS process, and so it is product management. It is thinking through M&A. Do we need to acquire one or two other companies to build this business into the right thing? Are we going after the right markets right now? And do we have the right product solutions? And then do we have a nice strong SaaS strategy where it's really easy for customers to buy? It's really easy for, you know, are our product managers talking to our customers, like I said earlier? It's just helping them think through all of that component of a really good SaaS business that, you know, I think I have now, you know, at least getting close to 10 years of working in a SaaS and pure SaaS environment and thinking through product management and then working for DTN, you know, the biggest weather company in the world, basically. And all the processes that happen there really add value to what I do now.
Sure, sure. Well, Mike, this has been a fascinating conversation. I really appreciate it. I love the takeaways. I love the journey. I love how early on you sort of hit that roadblock and you focused back on the data, and you've continued to make it improve the data, and that never stopped. Right. I love the consistent theme of talking to your customers, and I love constantly seeking the value. What's valuable to the customer? It's not internally what you guys perceive as value, but what's valuable in the eyes of the customer. So thank you for sharing those nuggets. I really appreciate it. How do people best connect with you? Whatever you want to share, social media or email, whatever is the best way.
You can get to me through my Twitter account, just at IELTS, it's E-I-L-T-S. Email is mike@weatherandnature.com. And I do have a website out there called weatherandnature.com, but it's actually a wildlife photography website that I do as a hobby more than anything, but you can contact me that way too.
Good for you, Mike. Hey, thanks for your time. Great episode. Chat soon. Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Kerry. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.